please, to Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. And I'm going to preach a message this morning on the role of mother. The role of mother. We're going to look at some Bible verses and some principles from the Word of God and preach to mothers this morning. Tonight, we will have one more message for the men. And so this is, it's going to be Mother's Day doubly today. This one's for the mothers, and tonight's is to help the mothers. The Word of God is there for us. And if we will allow the Word of God to effectively work in our hearts and change us, we can be what God wants us to be. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 says this: "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." And so, looking at this, we want to start out this morning with this idea. The role of mother is a role that needs to be taught. It needs to be taught. So let's pray, and we'll look to the Scripture. Father, we seek You today, and God, Your Word, You know better than anyone about family because You are the creator of it. Father, I pray that we would take the principles from Your Word today, and God, that You would help mothers, Lord, to be the God-given role, the what You have designed them to be for their families. And God, every mother needs Your help in it. This is not a matter of something we can just muster up. This is not motivational speaking. This is, God, it's Your Word guiding us into what we need to be. And Father, I pray that You would just speak to hearts today. And God, that You would help us, Lord, to be willing to be moved by You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the role of mother is a role that needs to be taught. And I want to just begin by saying that if we're going to be what God wants us to be, the very first thing that we need to be saved. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It is only God who can truly help us to be what we ought to be, whether it be a husband, whether it be a mother, whether it be a father, whether it be a wife, and whatever our role, a worker in society, whoever we are and the many hats that we wear. If we're going to be who we ought to be, we need to be saved. We need to be changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have repented of our sin and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, called upon Him, believed on Him. And, you know, I want to point out, you know, when we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not what you have to say these words. It is never that way. It is belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're calling upon Him to be our Savior. Maybe you said, well, would You please forgive my sins? Great. You believed on Him and that He is the forgiver of sins. Maybe you said, Jesus, I don't want to go to hell. Would You please save me from hell? Fantastic. You are trusting Him. You called upon Him. You're believing Him. It's not about the words that you say. Maybe you said, Jesus, I want You to come into my heart. But you were believing on Jesus that He died on the cross to save you. And we want to be careful. It's not a specific regiment of words. It is the fact that you believe and you're trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have received Jesus Christ. And it'll change your life. It's designed to change your life because the Holy Spirit of God, all of a sudden, when you believe on Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes into you and indwells your heart and makes you a new person. And every one of us need that. But the role of mothers, we read this, it needs to be taught. Why does it need to be taught? I want to, we're going to be around this passage, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, very close by. 2 Timothy chapter 3 makes a stunning revelation of what God has said is going to happen as the end days approach closer and closer and closer. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. This is a description. That's a pretty bad description. And when the Bible says without natural affection, there's two things that it can be referring to. It's without natural affection, the affection that a man would have toward a woman or a woman toward a man, but also the natural affection that a mother has toward her child. And that it is a God-given natural affection. You watch little girls play with baby dolls. There is an inbred, given to them, natural affection given by God. And it's there. And it's there unless it's taught out of them. But it's also, as society corrupts, mothers need to be taught. So the Bible instructs here the aged women to teach the younger women, and it gives a whole list of things that to be taught, but it says there very specifically that they are to be taught to love their children, to love their children. So we're in a day where children are largely given to others for their rearing. Whose job did God give it to? Mother, primarily mother. Now, is dad involved? Yes, dad is supposed to help bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But the father is designed to be out working to make the provision for the household. So who's with the children? Mothers. Mothers are told they need to be taught to love their own children. We're also in a day where distractions keep mothers from their role. And it could be the phone. It could be Facebook. It could be the career, it could be whatever that may be, but God has given a primary role, and that role is you have children, and you are to guide the house and bring up those children and rear them up, and it's necessary for society. And a mother that is continually on the phone or continually on Facebook or is out seeking a career, are they doing the job then that God intended them to do? And how are you going to know your children if you're not with them? If you give them over to someone else for all of their training and all of their rearing and all of their education, if you give that over and you just get them for a couple hours a night, how well do you really know your children? How well do you know what they're being taught, what they're being trained to do? We're in a day where children largely are untaught and unruly. Take a trip to Walmart. Take a trip to any restaurant. You know what happens a lot in restaurants nowadays? There's the absence of children because parents don't dare take their kids. It would be a disaster if they took their kids. Children need to be taught, but mothers need to be taught to bring up their children, to love their children. Mothers need to love their children. What is loving your child? Loving your child is nurturing your child. It is providing for them, bringing them up, pouring into them. Loving is caring for your child. And boy, like we said, there's a natural motherly instinct to care for that child. A mother has a baby, and immediately they want to take that baby and hold that baby to their breast to suckle them. And it is it's a God-given natural thing, but to care for that child. Loving is also training that child. And the Bible says quite a bit about training, but the Bible tells us train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It is a God-given role of a mother to say, boy, God gave me this child. I need to focus my attention on training up this child. They're naturally going to go down. They need to be trained up. You let the human sin nature take over in any child, and it's a disaster. They need to be trained up in the way they should go, but specifically the Bible says, train up a child, singular, in the way he should go. So it is a singular child. Is it successful to train every child the exact same way? No. It is an individual training. Is every child the same? No. Does every child have the same personality? No. Some children, boy, you can go after them and, I ain't gonna cry. Another child, you'll look at them. Well, obviously, there's a different training that needs to take place with that, but loving your child is not just letting them do their own thing. Loving them is turning them, helping them turn into a good and godly individual. Loving is correcting. I'm going to read four verses from Proverbs. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So hating your child is to not discipline them. Hating your child is to not correct them. It says very specifically, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Now, you look at that, that's not what society would tell you. But that's what God said. And so it is necessary in the role of mother to take the rod and apply it to the proper place with the proper correction and the proper instruction. Look further at what the Bible says concerning that. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13 and 14 says, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. And look, this is not talking about taking a big old staff and beating him on the head. There is a proper place for the rod to be administered to. And that's what the Bible is talking about. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, does spanking cause a child to get saved? It definitely works toward it. You know what it does? It teaches a child there are consequences for sin. It teaches a child that there is sin. And it teaches a child that sin is discipline. So then when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and the Bible says that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, this is the second death, a child that understands I have been disciplined because I do wrong has no problem understanding that God has a punishment for wrongdoing as well. That punishment for wrongdoing is hell. It is vital that a child grows up to understand that. On the other hand, a child who never receives correction, discipline, spanking, they often come to the idea and think, I don't do anything wrong. Yeah, sometimes my mom yells at me. But that's not punishment. That's not correction. That's not discipline. I talked to a teenager yesterday, and my wife and I, and the statement was made, I haven't done anything bad enough to make me worthy of going to hell. And you look at that, that person needs to be saved, but they don't think they need to be saved. What's missing? What's missing is the fact they have no comprehension that they do anything wrong. Whose fault is that? Part of it's society, but it's mom and dad's fault. And I don't know mom and dad, but I know this, there's no conviction of sin. And withhold not correction from the child, for thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs 29:15 says this, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Do you want your child to have wisdom? I want my children to have wisdom. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Now that's an interesting statement. So if you lack the rod and you lack reproof, what is your child going to lack? Wisdom. Here's the opposite. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So as a mother, you're loving your child, and part of loving your child is correcting your child, disciplining your child, and what's happening? You're molding them into a wise individual. Now, if somebody's out there drinking alcohol, is that wise? If someone's out there doing drugs, is that wise? No, it is the absolute lack of wisdom. And what does that do? It brings a mother to shame. When a child is running around Walmart screaming their head off, I don't look at the child and say, oh, what an unruly child. I look at the parent and say, what an unruly parent. This parent has failed to train their child. They have failed to correct their child. Whose fault is it? The 5-year-olds or the 20-something-year-olds? It's mom. And there needs to be structure and discipline and correction. You say, well, I just let my child do what they want. And your child will bring you to shame. And so there has to be a very concerted effort for a mother to say, I am going to love my child. I'm going to feed and nurture them. I'm going to care for them. I'm going to train them. I'm going to correct them. Proverbs 29:17 says this, correct thy son, and he shall give thee what? You know, rest. He'll give thee rest. So if you don't correct your son, what are you going to get? I'm going to pull my hair out. My child won't listen to me. Why won't they listen to you? Correction. Correction. A mother ought to, look, by 2 years old, easily, a mother ought to be able to say to their child, I want you to sit right here. Don't move until I come back to get you. Now, that does not automatically take place. Wow, that's magic. Your child just did that. Yeah, you know what? There were hours of work at home that went into that. But do you know how restful it is to be able to say, hey, you sit here. I'm going to go over here. I got to talk to Brother Reed for a minute. And you're talking. We're communicating. We're having a good conversation. I got one eye over there to make sure that it's happening. And we can have a 10-minute conversation, a 15-minute conversation, and that child knows this is where I'm supposed to be. That takes place at home. You look, mom, put them on the couch, give them a book or give them a coloring book or sit them at the table with colors and crayons and say, look, I'm going to cook supper. You color. Don't get down out of the chair. And guess what? The first time you do that, guess what's going to happen? They're going to get down out of the chair. And you're going to be having one eye on the child, one eye on the cheeseburger. And you're going to come over and spank them and say, I told you, don't get down out of the chair. And pretty soon they've learned that. And you can say that to them. And you can go take your shower. Your child will be doing what they're supposed to be doing. You can go cook the supper. And your child, now, you're going to have to follow up on it, check on it. But do you know how restful that is? To just be able to tell your child what to do, and they're going to do it, and you know they're going to do it. And instead of terrible twos, you've got terrific twos. It's work, it's effort. But you know what a rest that effort brings by the time they're 4 or 5 years old? Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Loving is nurturing. Loving is caring. Loving is training. Loving is correcting. Loving is also self-sacrificing. There's an entire chapter on charity in the Bible, and you look at the description, it's all about not me. Love, charity, loving your child is self-sacrificing. This is where society has gone completely wrong today. Why would a mother kill her unborn child? Oh, it's inconvenient. It's going to be a financial burden. What is that the lack of? Self-sacrifice. What is it the epitome of? Selfishness. Selfishness. I wanted to live how I wanted to live without God's guidance, without God's correction, without God's instruction in my life. And I went out and I was immoral and I had a baby out of wedlock. And so I now I want to kill that child because he's inconvenient. That's messed up. But that is our world today. God forbid that Christian ladies would be selfish instead of self-sacrificing. Guess what? You have children, it's not all about you anymore. It becomes your life changes. It's about them. Now, if you train them properly, you'll have rest and delight. But it is self-sacrificing. The mother, chapter 2, verse 5 of Titus again, says this, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. So the mother is to be a keeper at home. The Bible further describes this in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13 and 14. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13 and 14. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children. What's the next phrase? Guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. A woman's life is not, it's not just, it's all about me. I want to live my life. I want to have my career. I want to do everything that I want to do. No, a woman's life, God's design is for a woman to get married, to bear children. Now, sometimes we've got people that are, they're still waiting on that husband to come along. Well, in the meantime, you live for God, you serve God. But that goal, that desire is, it's not about me. It's not about selfishness. It's about self-sacrifice. I want to get married. I want to be a good wife. I want to get married. I want to have children. I want to be a good mother. I want to bring those children up. This is vital. It's important. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 says this. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the what? Law of who? Thy mother. So the Bible clearly says the woman is to be the keeper at home. She's to guide the house. Her job is to have that house under control. She's guiding it. She's directing it. Now, the man's the head of the home, but where is the man not every day? He's not at home. Pretty hard to be making the financial provision for the home and be at home. It doesn't usually work that way. There may be some people that can work from home. If that's you, good. But the woman is to guide the home, guide the house, the Bible says, to be that keeper at home. So her guidance comes with children needing to be guided in daily activity. Well, it's very essential for a mother to have a plan. If you're going to guide something, look, we come to camp. We run camp and camp runs on a schedule. And for the most part, we stay on that schedule. That schedule has already been planned out And we're making that schedule work. And what that is camp, the whole day is guided. A woman in her home needs to guide the children through that day. Have structure. At this time, this is what we're doing. At this time, this is what we're doing. We've got structure. We've got schedule. It's not about just the children doing whatever they want. If they're doing whatever they want, chaos will ensue. But a mother has taken time and schedule and said, look, I'm going to guide my house. My children are going to be guided through their entire life. As the mother does this, to do that guiding, she's going to have to lay down somewhat laws. The Bible refers twice in Proverbs to the law of the mother. Mom has some laws. Now look, laws come with what? What happens if you break the law? Consequences. Consequences. So if you're going to have laws, you're going to have to enforce the laws. So you better make the laws enforceable. But Jesus, I'm going to guide them in daily activity. It is the mother's role. Children need to be guided in education. Now, you may homeschool your children or you may send your children to school, but whose responsibility is that education? It's mom's. Mom's. See, we went wrong when mothers stepped back and just sent their kids to school. And they don't know what their kids are learning. They're not involved. They're not asking. The kids come home, there's no interaction anymore with the parents, and the parents have no clue what their child has been taught that day. And in much of our public school system, look, they're being taught anti-biblical views. A lot. Who's responsible? Oh, that school. Mm-mm. Mom's responsible. You better know who's teaching your children, what they're teaching your children, and you have to be involved in that. And if the school doesn't want the parents involved, shame on the school. The parents ought to be involved. And they ought to know what's going on. Children need to be guided into salvation and living for God. Now, you can't force your child to get saved, but you can sure guide them down the path. You can help them memorize Bible verses. You can help them learn that they're a sinner. You can help them learn that, hey, Jesus died on the cross. Why did he die on the cross? He died on the cross to pay for your sins. You can guide them into salvation. You can then guide them after they get saved into living for God. Now, part of that guiding is by example, right? Do you think children are going to live for God if mom doesn't live for God? I've made this statement before. Somebody had made the statement. They said, I have seen many children live for God when mom lived for God, but dad didn't. But I, at this time, the person that made the statement said, I've never seen a child live for God where mom didn't live for God. Now, can it happen? Yes. God is incredible in that. But it shows the weight that mother carries in the home. It shows how much influence mom has. And children, boy, now, look, should dad be involved in teaching the Bible? Yes, dad is given the instruction, bring up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's written to fathers. Mothers are told to guide the house. And so as you guide that house, you need to think, if you have a television, what are your children seeing on television? There's not a lot good on there. What are they learning? What are they being trained toward? God forbid that little kids should have cuss words flowing out of their mouth because they sat there and some person on television is cussing and these kids are learning that. See, there's such a necessity. If we're going to guide our children, guide them into salvation, and guide them into living for God, it is essential that mom looks at that and says, I have a God-given responsibility to guide my house. And I'm determined I want my house to be guided in a godly way. And guess what? Nobody just has that all down. We need God's help. Men need God's help with their God-given role, and women need God's help with their God-given role. And so in order to have God's help, we first have to have a relationship with God. Dad has to have a relationship with God. Mom has to have a relationship with God. And only then can we guide our home. Can we bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord like we should? Because I am not capable, and you're not. We need God. We need God's help. So we look further into this chapter, chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, verse 10. It talks about an older woman, well reported of for good works. So here's a woman who has built over the course of her lifetime. She's at least 60 years old. Verse 9 says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years of old, having been the wife of one man. So here's a woman who got married, lived for God, and part of her living for God when she's 60 years old, here's a description, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. And so a church is instructed, if a woman doesn't have family left and her husband dies, a church steps in, her church steps in, her church family steps in and says, hey, we need to make sure this lady's taken care of. But there's some qualifications, and it says there has to be, she has to have been this. And part of that is if she have brought up children. And so here's a mother, and this is a mark of a godly older woman, is that she has brought up children. Her children have been trained up in the way that they should go. She has guided her house. And it's in that description that is there. So the role of a mother, it has to be taught. And from time to time, we preach on it from the pulpit. We describe it. Boy, the Bible is a good teacher, isn't it? But that mother role needs to be taught, you know, as your children are approaching marrying age, it needs to be taught. It needs to be given by example. Mothers need to be taught to love their children. Loving is nurturing, caring, training, correcting, self-sacrificing. We understand what that is. And the mother is the keeper and guide of the home. And she's the lawmaker in that home. Now look, do we need God for this? Do you really think, can you do it without God? We've got a new baby about to be born here. Lauren needs God. We've got people with their children are approaching young adulthood. Mothers need God. We have the Word of God. But who's going to give the strength to accomplish this? Is this something that a mother can, well, I'm just going to do this. We need God. So in that, let me ask you this. Are you saved? Mothers, have you come to the realization of, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus to be my Savior. I believe on Him. And I've put my trust in Jesus and I've asked Him to save me. Are you saved? Because you can't do this without first being saved. If you do it without being saved, you're doing it all on your own. You got no help from God. We need to be saved. And then secondly, mothers who are saved, are you asking God, God, help me to get the Bible principles. God, help me to train my children. God, help me to correct my children. God, give me eyes in the back of my head. Not physical ones. That'd look a little weird. But the ability. God, help me to see not only actions, but God, I need your help to see attitudes. Actions are more visible. Attitudes are harder to deal with. But attitudes need to be guided, corrected as well. God, help me. See, because if we're doing this without God, whether it's fathers or mothers, if we're doing this without God, we're depending on our own strength and our own ability. Now, is this a monumental task? Do you really want to try this without God? Do you want to try to do it right without God? So we need to be praying. The lack of prayer really comes down to the epitome of pride. I can do it. I've got this. Well, I don't. But God does. And so may we seek God. And ultimately it comes down to, God, you work in me so that I can work in my children. You help me so that I can help my children. And look, this is a message designed to be encouraging today. We need godly mothers in our society. We need it. And it's a God-given biblical principles of motherhood that are here. May God help us. Let's stand to our feet. Father, as we have an invitation at this time, God, I pray maybe there's someone here that's a mother and they're not saved yet. God, I pray that they would repent of their own sin and ask you to be their Savior and put their faith and trust in you. And God, that they would do that because they understand they need a relationship with you. Father, we pray for those that are saved. God, that you would help each mother. Lord, even the older mothers, help them in the teaching of the younger. God, help our younger mothers to be teachable. Father, help our mothers to be able to guide their homes, to love their children. God, we need you in this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, if you've got something to pray about this morning, I'd encourage you to come. Maybe mothers, you just want to come and pray for your children. Pray that God can help you. In our society, in this day and age, you don't have a lot of help outside of a church family. You don't have much help. The world's not on your side. Mothers today would just say by raise of hand, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to be the mother that God intends me to be. Okay. Do you need God's help? Good.
Fathers, husbands need to, boy, got to be on the same page. Moms and dads. Bible's good. God knows, and we need it, don't we? We need it. And boy, I hope that all of you who have a mother, you're appreciative of all that your mother did for you. And you might look at, well, my mother didn't do everything right. Nobody's mother did. Nobody's father did. We still ought to be thankful. We still ought to be grateful. And it's an important thing that as young people especially, you honor and respect your mothers. And then as you grow into adulthood, the best way you can honor your mother is live for God. Yeah. Live for God. Do right. And, you know, you think about this idea of you were brought up and you know your mother brought you up in a right and in right way, and you decide, I ain't going to do it. That is completely dishonoring to your mother. And it's wrong. And you will be accountable to God. You need to get right with God in those things. All right. So the guys are, I'm giving them a little bit of time. So in just a moment, men, you're going to have to step out of the way. There's going to be a mad dash. I want this guy. No. All mothers, and what we'll do right after we pray, we'll dismiss the mothers first, and you can just slip out into the back, and there will be rows and columns, I think, of flavors of Culver's frozen, what is it called? Custard. It's not ice cream. Frozen custard. So it's out there. Oh, there's still some people who need their picture taken. If you have not had your picture taken for the directory, would you please see Benjamin? Benjamin's going to have a camera. So go out here and see Benjamin. If you haven't gotten your picture taken for the directory yet, okay? And you need to do that. There's a few people. He's working on the directory. He's like, we don't have pictures of. So if you haven't gotten your picture taken, maybe you weren't here when I made the announcement or whatever, could you just please slip over here into this foyer? You can get your picture. You set the ice cream aside and get your picture taken. Get your picture with the, you know. It'll help everybody to see who you are and all of that. And just so please get that taken care of if you would. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for mothers. God, we thank you for your instruction for it. God, I pray that you would help all of the mothers that are here today. God, give them grace. Enable them to do what they cannot do in their own power. God, help them to see the need. I pray that you would please work. And God, I pray that you would just bless them. God, may this be a day that we honor them, but God, help us to honor them every day. Father, help our children to listen to the laws of their mother. Help our mothers to put in that time and effort needed to train. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, mothers, you can slip out.